ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, the last canto, Chapter 3, entitled the Bhumi Gita, text number 26. Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti
Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti
Drishyante Purushe Gunaha
Drishyante Purushe Gunaha
Kala Sanchoditas Devai
Kala Sanchoditas Devai
Parivartantad Atmani Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti
Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti
Drishyante Purushe Gunaha
Drishyante Purushe Gunaha
Kala Sanchoditas Devai
Kala Sanchoditas Devai
Parivartanta Atmani
Parivartanta Atmani
Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti Drishyante Purushe Gunaha
Drishyante Purushe Gunaha
Kala Sanchoditas Devai
Kala Sanchoditas Devai
Parivartanta Atmani
Parivartanta Atmani
Please chant
Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti
Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti
Drishyante Purushe Gunaha
Drishyante Purushe Gunaha Kala Sanchoditas Devai
Parivartanta Atmani
Parivartanta Atmani
Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti
Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti
Drishyante Purushe
Gunaha
Kala
Sanchoditas Devai Parivartanta Atmani Waters? Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti Drishyante Purushe Gunaha Kala Sanchoditas Devai Parivartanta Atmani Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti Drishyante Purushe Gunaha Kala Sanchoditas Devai Parivartanta Atmani Sattvam Rajas Tama Iti Drishyante Purushe Gunaha Kala Sanchoditas Devai Parivartanta Atmani Word for word, Sattvam
Goodness.
Raja,
passion.
Tama,
ignorance.
Iti,
thus.
Drishyante, are seen.
Purushe,
in a person.
Gunaha,
the modes of material nature.
Kala
Sanchoditaha, impelled by time.
Te,
they.
By,
Indeed.
Parivartante.
Undergo permutation.
Atmani.
Within the mind.
Translation
and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Of which we were fortunate to have one of them here. Translation. The material modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, whose permutations are observed within a person's mind, are set into motion by the power of time. Purport. The four ages described in these verses are manifestations of various modes of material nature. So we should understand these are like the previous verses, few verses, they're describing the modes of nature. So the age of truth, Satya Yuga, manifests the predominance of material goodness. And Kali Yuga manifests the predominance of ignorance. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, within each age, the other three ages occasionally manifest as sub-ages. Thus, even within Satya Yuga, a demon in the mode of ignorance may appear. And within the age of Kali, the highest religious principles may flourish for some time. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the three modes of nature are present everywhere and in everything. But the predominant mode or combination of modes predominates the general character of any material phenomenon. In each age, therefore, the three modes are present in varying proportions. The particular age represented by goodness, Satya, Passion, Treta, Passion and Ignorance, Dwapar, or Ignorance, Kali, exists within each of the other ages as a sub-factor. End of purport. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Kriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasendubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shmati Srila Prabhau Prabhuji Namini Shri Shri Vrindatavi Gura Padapara Prabhupada Padaya Namah Shri Vrindavi Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namini Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Sunavani Pachyate Deshidharani. Hare Krishna. So, in our last class, we discussed how we quoted verses 4, 7, that whenever there is a decline in righteousness and a rise in irreligion, that the Lord appears, and He appears to Parichanaya Sadhanam, to destroy the miscreants and protect the devotees. We also talked about how this material world can be compared to an ocean of tears. So that's the bad part. The good part is that it's surrounded by miles of smiles in terms of the revealed scriptures and the opportunity to conquer these ill effects of Kali Yuga. We also talked about that for one to take the opportunity to involve themselves in this miles of smiles that surrounds this ocean of tears, that one has to follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction when he says, just be responsible. We have to take up some responsibility individually and collectively. And that sense of responsibility would push us forward. So With that in mind, I want to continue with today's verse, which is a very, very great opportunity for us. When we look at this verse, there's the very wonderful thing here. It says that even within Kali Yuga, then there is sublime activities. There is sublime, the Lord's activities are here in terms of the holy names of the Lord. So, devotees are transcendental businessmen or transcendental opportunists. I remember when we were kids, we used to tell a story of three men going down the road. They were in the very same situation, but one was a businessman, one was a thief, and the other one was a woman hunter. So as they were going, the businessman, he was seeing opportunities for doing business. In everywhere he looks, he is able to pinpoint an opportunity to do business. Similarly, the thief was looking and was able to recognize opportunity to steal. And similarly, the third one was recognizing opportunity to enjoy. So it's the very same situation. So what makes the difference? The difference is what we're looking for, how we're perceiving things, what opportunity we're trying to grasp. So if we, once you have that mental constitution or construction, then these opportunities would automatically lend themselves to you. You would automatically see this opportunity everywhere you go. And once this nature develops, then you won't be able to help but pursue these opportunities. I remember lately with my former boss, when I had that job, he's a businessman and he looks for every opportunity. So one day he was invited to a fundraiser, so which means, you know, he had to give a donation. So he went there, he's looking around. So he said there is no way that he's going to leave here without doing some business and, you know, recapping what he gave. So he looked around, and the only thing he found was he bid on a burial lot. That was the only thing there where he can do some business. So he bid on it, no one bid against him, so he got it at that bottom dollar. So he was very excited about that, and came back, and next week he sold it and doubled his investment. So this opportunity, once one has this nature, this opportunity is there, or we can recognize this opportunity. So similarly, in this verse today, devotees can take this opportunity to recognize the key presentation in this beautiful purport, that in this age of Kali, that even within this age of Kali, the highest religious principles may flourish for some time. So that's, for me, that's the key of this purport, that despite our situation is such, but there is this wonderful opportunity of service to the Lord, which, and if we look at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, we also talked about this in the last class, 1.3.43, if you're able to put it up, that this Bhagavatam has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna. And this Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. So, with all the Lord left, and we understood that immediately as the Lord left, Kali Yuga steps in. So, for us, we can say it's a bad bargain. But there are opportunities. There are so much opportunities that by taking shelter of this Bhagavatam, that one can achieve divinity, one can achieve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that everything is here. And if we go back to the second chapter, 1.2.6, Savaipum sa paro dharmo yato bhakshir ahaituk. Adhoksite ahaitukya pratiyata yeyatma supersidite. That verse talks about actually when the sages of Naimisharanya assembled, they asked Sutta Goswami to please give us the essence of all these scriptures, please summarize and please direct that for the sake of the people in general, give us the essence by which they can all achieve transcendence. So then Sutta Goswami was quoting this. The supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So in the purport, it describes there on the first paragraph of that purport, talks about the sage's eagerness to create a situation for the general populace, the people of Kali Yuga and the general populace, to bring about situation, bring the essence of Vedic culture, because they knew that people in Kali Yuga, we have short memory, we're short of everything. Everything gets, in Kali Yuga, everything gets less and less. There is this one funny saying that in Kali Yuga everything gets less and less, that telephone communication goes wireless, talking to your children these days hopeless, trying to find a good job, talking to your children useless, trying to find a good job hopeless, now a woman trying to walk around topless, and the list keeps going on, all kind of less and less and less. So anyway, because of the constituency of the age, then it's difficult for us to by ourselves, or even with the guidance of all the vast literatures, to pick out the essence. So therefore, these devotees, these great personalities, are creating that situation for us, so that where we can have the essence of the scriptures. And so therefore, the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam is there for us. That simply by studying these two books, and that's stated in that purport somewhere, that the essence of our life can be achieved. And then coming towards the end of this chapter, the second to last verse, it's 1351. Sukadev Goswami was telling Maharaj Parikshit, Kaler Doshe Nide Rajan Ashti He Gunam Ashti He Gunamahan Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Paramarjat. That in this age of Kali, which is full of faults, there is one good quality, and that is by chanting the names of Krishna. That third verse talks is very, very specific. Kirtanat eva krishnasya, that to by chanting the holy names of Krishna, not any name, not name of any demigod, not name of anyone else, but in particular by chanting the names of Krishna, one can be promoted to the transcendental realm. So this is very, very specific. When I read this, I thought, what more can we ask for? What more can we ask for? It's so defined and so specific. Like, some time ago in my work, we had to go through some laws. We were going through some Florida statutes, working on a case. And when you go through in these statutes, it's a whole long chapter, very thick. And you have to have, like a PhD to understand like just one section of it, because it doesn't say specifically. It says, well, if this is so, then you have to think about this, and if that's so, then this, you know, and it goes on and on and on. So by the time you get to the end, you think, well, what did he just do? Where's the answer? Yeah. It's not specific. It's really not specific. But here with Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it's very, very specific. Yeah. Krishna gives direct instruction. Krishna's devotees give direct instructions in the Bhagavatam. That is very, very specific, that all you have to do is accept this. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly says, Sarva dharman parichaja mame kam sharanam raja aham tom sarva papi bhyo moksha yishyami masacha. Just give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. When I say me, I mean Krishna, okay? So, just surrender unto Krishna, that he would deliver us from all sinful reactions, do not fear. It's very, very clear. There is no buts and ifs or any diplomacy in there. It's very clear cut, very, very straightforward. But the key is there in that verse. First thing, sarva dharman parichaja. Just surrender. So that's where we comes in. So it's a two-way street. That not that everything is there and we can relax and things are going to go on. So coming back to where we left off in our last class, of we taking this divine instruction of Srila Prabhupada, one of the latest instruction he gave, to just be responsible, is that we have to participate, we have to take part in this opportunity. Not that we just sit and it happens. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also say, don't leave, just leave here. With Srila Prabhupada's accent, the devotees had a hard time to understand. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, don't leave and go away, but just live here. So just stay. That all you have to do is stay. Like I remember in the early days when we were living in the temple, there was no questions of making efforts to get up for Mangal Arati or anything else. Because the whole atmosphere is there, even if you don't want to get up automatically, you know. Yeah, my other ashram roommate, somebody trying to wake up and he crawl over my head and kick my head, so I have to get up. So there's no question. So that's this opportunity is there. But when we're away, or when like how we are now, it's a little more difficult. Sometimes you wake up all time for Mangal Arati torn, take off the alarm and go back to sleep, right? So these things are there. But as we make efforts, that's where we have to come in, as we make our efforts to participate in Krishna consciousness. Because this process is a little different. Like if someone has the manual for some machine, so they know how to function this machine, how it operates. They have the manual. They know which button to press, what to do, whatever. Unlike others who don't, it's a little more difficult. So devotees, we have this manual. We have this opportunity. We know the know-how, is what the mechanics would say. I know the know-how of how to make this car move along. So we have this opportunity in the scriptures to do that. But the opportunity for us to able to use it, we have to practice it. Like Lord Nityananda talks about this in his very popular song. Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan. That he has opened a marketplace of the holy name. Shradavanjanahe. That the only thing he's requesting is our faith. That's all the payment he's asking. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, in his song, Jeev Jago, he also talks about this. He gives us this wake-up call. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole. wake up sleeping souls. Lord Gauranga is calling.
Enechea shadi maya nasibara lagi se hari nama mantra loitu mi magi.
So it's saying, oh, you have slept so long on the lap of the witch Maya, and now please wake up and chant Lord Gauranga's holy names, in essence. And our dear Prabhu, Dravida Prabhu, the other day he gave us the very same version, this wonderful quote. Sense pleasure is a dream, Krishna is supreme, the goal is prema, the way is the name. It's the very same thing what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. The aim is prema, the way is the name. Okay, so I said the goal is prema, the aim is prema. Okay, so I was off by just a hair. So anyway, the very same thing is there. It's basically the quote from the Acharyas, that what Prabhu, described. There is nothing different. So the point I was making is that we have to do our part in this, to partake in this sublime method that is available in this age. So, coming back to the 51st verse, what talked about Kale Dosha Nidirajan. So Sukadeva Goswami is talking about that by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can attain sublime and transcendental goals. But more and above that, Lord Chaitanya came. For us it's special because in every Kali Yuga this opportunity is there to chant the holy names. But in this particular Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya came and showed us practically how to do it. He acted like a devotee. And so we have a very special opportunity. So for us to take our responsibilities, we have to partake in this wonderful opportunity. Like last Saturday, we were on this Ratha Yatra in Tallahassee. So there was this one guy, this one black gentleman. He was going around because everybody playing all their kirtan, all kind of fancy kirtan they had. So all these different, the different participants. So he was going around and he was dancing to their music. So he was doing all this break dance and whatever else, they do on these when they get this kind of kirtan going. So then by then he danced and he walked past us. We were still preparing, and then our kirtan started. So he came back and he started dancing with our kirtan, and he never left for the entire parade. He walked all the way and he went. So whoever went to that parade and know that the police is always on our case. As soon as we get to the end, we have to dismantle immediately. So immediately they left us on the street, and it was a one-way road, and they said, hey, you have to get dismantled at ASAP. So we are rushing to get down towards the end of it. The last thing I did is to go and reach this gentleman and say thank you for, participating. And I said, please come back. We'll do this again next year. We give him prasadam. We give him some water and so forth. He said, next year? Why till next year? Next week. So I said, no, next year. He said, no, next week. That the devotees told me that next week they're going to have this program at the center. I said, oh, okay, yes, next week. So then please come. I said, you have the address? He said, sure, I have everything and I'll be there. So this was wonderful that we were able to share. But for us to share, we had to do something. We had to go out. We had to go out in the streets. We had to share Krishna consciousness. And like that, people are becoming attracted. Of course, attractive also. So these things are there, that this golden age is here. The bad influence is here also, but as is described, that the devotee keeps his life parallel. This material world and devotional service runs like the parallel train tracks. The tracks, they're two tracks, and they're never going farther apart, they're never coming closer. But it keeps, you know, they're always exactly the same going on. So a devotee should conduct his life in such a way so that he runs parallel. Even though it says that the devotee creates, you know, war against Maya, we should all know that we cannot defeat Maya. Devihe ishugunamai mama maya duracheya. Krishna says that this divine energy of mine, Maya, is very strong. You can't overcome her so easily, except for surrendering unto him. So in overcoming, we're not overcoming the Maya, but we're overcoming her influence on us. So that's the difference. So one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that this age, that this Sankirtan movement would last for 10,000 years. So how is that? What would happen? How would, you know, please give an idea as to what's going to go on. And Srila Prabhupada said that Kali Yuga would go on and the Sankirtan movement would go on. So it's like two sides of a scale. They would be going, you know, none would disturb the other. Kali Yuga would escalate in its activities, but the Sankirtan movement would also escalate in its activities and keep going on like that. So that's the idea, is that we don't have, on the most part, that ability to counter, but we can keep ourselves in such a way, we can keep our lives in such a way so that Maya would not take, you know, its full course of influence on us. Actually, we should try to have that where Maya doesn't take any influence. So Maya's activities goes on and our activity goes on. So that is the training that we are expecting to achieve in Krishna consciousness. So we would still have all our daily activities, whether it be within the association of devotees, and unfortunately some of us we have outside of the association of devotees. But we have to be, as what we talked about earlier, like a transcendental businessman, to pick up the essence and to try to be that transcendental opportunist, to grab the opportunities that are available to keep ourselves strong. So verses like this, purports like this, that what we're reading today, that gives us this great hope that never mind this age is so bad in this Kali Yuga, but we have an opportunity that there is the highest religious principle is being practiced. There's an opportunity for you to partake. And by this, we're talking about the Sankirtan movement. That is, Sankirtan movement is there. There's this highest opportunity for us to partake. We have seen so many other religious practices. And if you look in depth, they may have some, you know, highlights of philosophy and so forth. But other than that, to have something that carries you on throughout the week, other than Sunday or Fridays, whenever, to carry us and to give us this sublime strength and the same enthusiasm, it's hardly even found excepting for Krishna consciousness. We are not saying bad things of any other practice, but it's reality that our practice is a daily, everyday practice that keeps us strong. Like Srila Prabhupada said, he said this Krishna consciousness, if you practice it sincerely, is so strong that even his brahmacharis in New York City can maintain their standards. He's mentioned like this in the Prabhupada Lamrita. Satrup Maharaj quoted that. So the practice is here, and we have to be responsible. We have to take the responsibility. We have to take the opportunity, whether we are small children going to school or we are in our 80s and everything in between. So we have to see that every little thing that we do in Krishna consciousness would positively affect our personal lives, positively affect our immediate surroundings, like our families or students or whoever. And then we take up a responsibility in Krishna consciousness that there are so much services to be done within this movement. There are so many services to be done within this temple, within the project. So if every one of us take a little bit of opportunity, we just take a little bit of responsibility, then everything can be covered. You know, it doesn't take much. Even a small child can walk around the veranda and see a piece of paper and thinking, well, okay, not someone dropped it on purpose, but maybe someone dropped by accident, so pick it up and put it in the garbage can. So when guests come, they see a nice, clean place, and they can be attracted to it. So, you know, just very, very simple things like that. So that's how we can be, we can partake in the Sankirtan movement. We can partake in the in these most valuable opportunities that we're getting. So we can see it as Kali Yuga is very bad, or we can see as that this brilliant Bhagavatam is so very good. So it depends on which eye we want to see it. Depends on how we're colored, then that's how we can partake. Like my dad used to say that the same tongue that you suck lime with, you can also suck sugar with. So in other words, instead of, you know, talking bad of a situation or seeing the bad things in a situation, let's talk about the good side of that situation or seeing the good things in that situation. So this is what this Bhagavatam is all about. That in this day and age, it's shining its brilliance. And all we have to do is to open the shades of our windows in our houses or step outside and enjoy the brilliance. So it's, in essence, is that very simple. In practice, it's a little more difficult. But by the association of devotees, we can all do it, right? So anyway, I would like to stop here. If anyone has any questions, comments, corrections, criticisms. Oh, Mother Sri Devi, the microphone is coming.
Sometimes we hear that Prabhupada said that the two tracks get stronger with time. The Sankirtan movement gets stronger and the demons also get stronger.
Yeah.
And you were saying how we practice devotional service to keep ourselves like safe from that,
yeah,
from Maya. But also I've heard it said that the Sankirtan movement like staves off the influence of demons and the progression of Kali Yuga, that the Sankirtan movement can like check it. So it seems like what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it definitely checks it, because if it couldn't, you know, from a logical point of view, if it couldn't check it, then we couldn't stay on our tracks. And it would spread, like it says, the holy name would spread to every town and village. And when Srila Prabhupada was asked about that, he said 10% of the world will be Krishna conscious. That, in other words, so much people will be exposed to the holy name. It doesn't mean that all of them might be like full-fledged devotees, but they will be conscious of Krishna's holy names. And that in itself would ward off many of the influences of Kali Yuga. But it would be there, just like in this case of the Bhagavatam, when Krishna is there, you know, it says that when Krishna is there, it was just about the, you know, Kali Yuga was about to step in. And negative influences were there. Kali was there, but he had no place. So when Maharaj Parikshit came, in the earlier cantos of the Bhagavatam is described that he could have gotten rid of Kali Yuga when it was beating the bow, the religion. But for higher purposes, he gave Kali Yuga a certain place to stay and not influence the others. Like in some countries, I had one Korean guy, he was working with me for some time, and he was telling me about some of his travels. So he mentioned that, we started talking about Krishna consciousness, so he mentioned when he was in some of these Muslim countries, they have like the brothels and so forth, it was restricted to a certain corner of the city or wherever. Only that spot, only that building, whatever, these activities can go on. Anywhere else is strictly forbidden. So why would they allow it in the first place? But, you know, so there is a reason. So similar with Kali Yuga. So Maharaj Parikshit give Kali Yuga, Kali, its, you know, its corner. But when he left, then those things sprout. So the influence of devotional service is like what it says on the back of the Godhead magazine, that this knowledge is light. So when the light is there, darkness cannot manifest. So darkness basically means the absence of light. That's what darkness is. So if somebody tried to bring in darkness into this room, and okay, I have one bag of darkness here and open it, you can't see anything. But if night comes in or you shut all the windows, take out all the light, that's when darkness is there. So darkness is like not a substance by itself. Similarly, the influence of Kali is like not a substance by itself. It only sprouts when the essence of devotion service removes from that point. So that's how, I think that's like one of my understanding of how it works. So once a devotee keeps their practice, that's why Srila Prabhupada says, this sadhana bhakti is not only for kanishtha adhikaris or newcomers. It's for everyone, from the kanishtha to the paramahamsas, that you keep, and we see all our acharyas, excepting for a very few, like avadutas and so forth, all our acharyas, they're very strict with their sadhana, like all the six goswamis, Haridas Thakur, they're chanting so many rungs. What's the need for them? Srila Prabhupada chanted 16 rungs every day. What's the need when there's such paramahamsas? But he says, if you don't keep Krishna in, then Maya will jump in. He gives the example of this cup. He said a cup would always be filled. If you have not, you know, apparently nothing in it, water would be, air would be there. And if you pour water in, then air would come out and water would stay. If you start pouring rocks in, the water would come out and the rocks would stay. So the saying is that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. So a devotee keeps itself and himself vigilant by keeping Krishna consciousness. And once Krishna consciousness is practiced, then the influence of Maya automatically stays aside. Does that answer? Thank you very much. Anything else? Radhakund.
I wanted to share something with the same boy you were talking about.
Yeah.
When the kirtan was finished, he sat down and he folded his hand and he said, "Oh, this music touches my heart." Mm-hmm. And he said, "I love it, I love it, I love it."
Okay. Yeah, so even though he might not be conscious of what he's saying, probably not fully conscious, but the effects are there. You know, the effect is there. So, Trivikram Prabhu, thank you very much for that.
Do you think the other religions can add in some way to assist the Sankirtan movement?
Yeah, definitely. Srila Prabhupada actually mentioned one time, he says he was telling his devotees that, he was telling others that just practice your religion strictly. He said, I'm not telling you to leave Christianity and come and join us here. He said, whatever you're doing, just practice it strictly. Follow all the rules and regulations. And that would give you sublime life, which means it would counteract the influences. And he said, and if you cannot follow strictly there, then you can come and join us. So he was given that option. I think he was doing this when he was preaching in some of the Christian countries. Yes, he's not saying to just give up what you're doing. No, but do it following strictly. These commandments are there in the Bible. It's very, very clear. Very, very clear. There's no screwing in or screwing out. Everything is very clear. So, if everyone does, and we can see that as time goes on, at least when the only thing I know of is when we go out and, you know, in Krishna conscious activities, I see some other religious practitioners. Sometimes they come to compete with us, but in so doing, they also help to ward off the influence. So it helps them, it helps us, it helps everybody else. Like our last Ratha Yatra in St. Augustine, This one guy came with his big cross, it was so huge he was pushing it on a dolly. And he came and he came right in front of the Jagannath cart. So then I was telling one devotee, just see that Lord Jesus is coming to take darshan of his Lord, Lord Jagannath. So, you know, that's the way we see it. He might see it, you know, he might see it differently. But together, you know, he was helping to preach or whatever, you know, in their own way, and was definitely helping the mass of people. I remember the only time I went to LA Ratayatra, they had this group that's always, you know, come and, you know, they have their big banner that Jesus is the only way. So the part where I saw him, it was, he was like on the sidewalk and the cart was there. And above that, there was like a little kind of a wall about this high right next to him. So he had this big banner on his, you know, this banner holding it. And the banner was above, and he has this, you know, and he was saying that, and he was pointing that this is the only way. And then one devotee came from behind, and he took a big picture of Srila Prabhupada, and he pasted it on top. And the guy was pointing, this is the only way. So, Hare Krishna. So, anyway, so all these different religious practices definitely help. And even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur talked about that also in his book Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts. He mentioned one, as a matter of fact, he even criticized some of the Vaishnavas because they were criticizing these other practitioners. Of course we can't imitate that. You know, it takes one like Bhaktivinoda Thakur to do that. But in essence is that it helps these. Everyone, as one becomes more religious, then competition arises, and then everyone engages in Sankirtan. Just like when Lord Chaitanya appeared, all the Hindus, they were chanting Krishna's names, and then the Muslims were mocking them, but they were also chanting Krishna's name, and then everyone got the benefit. So it's like that. Whether one be conscious or not, the medicine would work. But of course, as we wanted to start taking it seriously, then we have to try to avoid the offenses and so forth. So, anyway, thank you so much. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.